bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study.
The light of the world is Jesus.
Alleluia. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, no matter what men may say. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Welcome to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Studies Easter program. We're so happy that you're here today as we celebrate the holiest day of the year, the happiest day of the year, a day of tremendous joy. We're going to be focusing on the Gospel of John's telling of the resurrection story as found in the 20th chapter of John, verses 1 through 18. And I'm going to read the final verse of our text today to set up our title. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things to her. John 20, verse 18. Mary heard something, and she told what she had heard. Mary saw something, and she told what she had seen. But it is what Mary heard today that I want us to focus on. I want us to focus on this statement. Mary heard that He is not here. That's a very important message of Easter. But there's an important addition to that. He is not here. He is risen. And evidently she missed that. And therefore that leads to the second thing Mary heard. Mary heard a question. Mary heard a question. Why are you weeping? Why are you so sad? Why are tears flowing down your cheeks? Why are you weeping? And we learn in the books of the writings of the Apostle Paul that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It is a misery to think of Christ as dead and not alive, but oh, how wonderful that we can wipe away our tears. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so the question is, why are you still mourning, Mary? And she heard that question. And then she heard something that took away her weeping. Mary heard her master say her name. Mary heard her master say her name. And she heard with that love and patience. And Mary heard hope. These are all things Mary heard. And one final thing that we'll discover, Mary heard a calling. Jesus is calling her to be the first witness of the resurrected Christ. She is chosen by God to be the witness of the grandest story ever told. He is not here. He is risen. And Mary can add this, I saw Him. I heard Him. He called my name. So let's go to the Gospel of John. We start at verse number 1 of the 20th chapter. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. We learn something from every one of the Gospel accounts. And John is mainly focusing on Mary Magdalene, and so he only mentions her. This does not mean that John doesn't know that there was another Mary who was there and that Salome was there. He knows that. He's simply focusing on Mary Magdalene, but he is rehearsing what also the other gospel accounts tell us. It was the first day of the week. It was at the very start of the day. They left when it was still dark. They got there as the sun was rising. They learned of the empty tomb. They were all worried that they wouldn't have the strength to roll away the stone. And when they got there, the stone had already been taken away. And so it just tells us it was the first day of the week. It tells us it was early. It tells us they left when they were dark. And it tells us that when they got there, their fears were alleviated. The stone had been taken away. Verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which is one way of John telling about himself. He doesn't usually mention himself by name, and so he uses this way of telling us that he was there. So it's John and Peter that Mary runs to. And she says they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. When Mary says these words, it's pretty clear she does not believe that Christ is alive. She says he's not in the tomb, which of course is correct. She says we don't know where they laid him. Why would you lay a person who was alive? So she thinks he's dead, which explains a lot in our understanding of where she's at. She obviously heard the angels say he is not here. We gather that from the other gospel accounts. Let's look at one of them. Mark chapter 16, verse 6 and 7 says, "But he," the angel, "said to them," the ladies who had come to the graveside at the beginning of the day, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So she sees where he had been laid, the grave. She hears the words, "He is not here." So that's backing up what her eyes are telling her. But she, perhaps because what her eyes were telling her and her grief being so high, she did not hear the most important thing. He is risen. He is risen. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that if we believe in Christ in this life only, that is, if we only think he lived a life on the earth and he stopped, we are of all men most miserable. We need to have a living Christ for joy to take place. And that brings us to what Mary will hear next. But before that, we look at she told Peter and John that Jesus was not in the tomb anymore, and that they should go look. And so they did. Peter therefore went out, we're back in John 20, verse 3 and 4, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. They both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. So John outran Peter. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. So he's a little skittish about going into the gravesite, but he could see inside that the grave clothes of Jesus were where the body had been. Then Simon Peter came, following him, as he finally caught up with John, who ran first. Then Simon Peter came and, following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. So he saw them close up. And when he saw them close up, he realized that they were very orderly in their way they had been laid out. In verse 7 of John 20, "And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself." This suggests that there was an order to things, and it suggests he was moving, when he took his headpiece off was different from where he took off the other cloths that were wrapped around his body. Now, why did they leave him there? Well, because he's not dead anymore. Doesn't need the clothes of death. That happened to Lazarus too. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go. Take away those death cloths off Lazarus. He's alive. He doesn't need death cloths anymore." And so it was that Jesus didn't need them either. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, that would be John, went in also, and he saw and believed. He began to understand more fully. Oh, Jesus is alive. Mary didn't understand that. And Peter doesn't understand it. In fact, most of the apostles didn't understand it. Thomas didn't understand it for a whole week. Chapter number 20, verse 9, "For as yet they," meaning the apostles, "did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." They weren't listening. I guess that's a part of today's lesson title. Mary heard, but folks, sometimes we hear things with our outer ear that it never penetrates our mind or our heart. If you really truly hear something, if you're truly listening to something, you get it all. Jesus has told them he's going to rise from the dead, but they didn't understand it. Mary probably heard the words too, and she didn't understand it. She's not overly excited about what's happened here. Verse 12, "And she saw two angels sitting in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain." I missed verse 11. I'm sorry. Let me reread verse 11. "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb." So Mary has come to the gravesite. Peter and John have gone back home. And when Mary looks in the gravesite, she now sees the same two angels that had spoken before about him not being there, but risen. She saw two angels in white, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had, past tense, had lain. It's not there. He is not here. So now these two see Mary, and she hears something. She hears the second thing. She's already heard he is not here. Now she hears a question, and here's the question. "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now this question will be asked again by Jesus. That'll be the first thing he says to her. So this question's pretty important. "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she tells that her weeping is not for happiness. The way she answers it, it's pretty clear. She is brokenhearted. She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Same language she said before. She's expecting the body to be dead, and therefore you have to lay it down like a piece of furniture or something. It'll just stay there. She misses the point. He is risen, and the angels are bringing what's lacking to her. "Woman, why are you weeping? This is not the day for weeping. This is the day of joy. Why are you weeping?" Verse 14. "Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus." Jesus had special abilities in his resurrected body that he did not display in his public ministry. One is the ability to disguise himself, that people do not automatically recognize who he is until he's ready to reveal himself to them. And that's the case. It's the case here with Mary. She's talking to a man, but she doesn't know it's Jesus. Same thing happened to the two men who were on the road to Emmaus. They walked and talked with Jesus. He basically had the same question to them. They were full of sorrow, and he had to explain to them that the sorrow was against what the promise had been. The promise had been, yes, he will die. Yes, he will suffer. But on the third day, he was supposed to rise again. And he did rise again on the third day. Oh, what joy. Oh, what joy. So she does not know it is Jesus Christ who is talking to her. Now we go to verse 15. He asked the same question the angels ask. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, again, past, you know, like he's still dead, and I will take him away. She came to anoint his body. I'll prepare him. I'll get him in this right place. I'll put him back in the grave. He's not going back in the grave. He's alive. Now, let's look at the question even closer. It's primarily the same question the angels ask, woman, why are you weeping? Let me stop a minute and say, why woman? Why not Mary? Well, because right now she represents all of us as the woman, as the one who represents the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. Woman, very generic. Why are you weeping? And he's going to change that in just a second. And he won't say woman. He'll call her by name. When he says woman, she doesn't quite get it. But let's look at the next thing she hears. Mary heard her master say her name. Now, I could tell you that the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you may get inspired by that. That may open your eyes. But you might think as well, oh, he's talking to a whole bunch of other folks in the world. It's not me. But what's really wonderful is when God touches us personally, that he reveals himself to our heart. And we come to an understanding that he knows my name. He didn't save a clump of people. He saved individuals. He saved you. Put your name there. Now, he's going to say, Mary, but I want you to put your name in your imagination. When you hear me read the next scripture that says he said to her, Mary, I want you to think, in my case, David, or whatever your name is, put it there. Because he knows your name. He cares about you. Now, here it comes. John 20:16. Jesus said to her, Mary, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, or Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. There is a term of rabbi, which means teacher. Rabboni or Rabboni means my teacher. It's a personalization of it. So we go from woman and rabbi to Mary and Rabboni. You see, from the generic to the specific. He speaks personally to her, and now she responds personally to him. That's fascinating to me. She responds to him in that same intimate way that he has spoken to her. God knows how to talk to us. God knows how to passionately say. Every time I come across this verse throughout my whole ministry and I say, Jesus said to her, Mary, I usually try to pause and say, Mary, you know, but I don't know how he said it. I know this. He said it just like she wanted to hear it. Something that is like the child in the mall cries out. And while he may say, Mom, our mother, and there may be 100 mothers in the shopping mall, it's the actual mother of the child that will turn and run because she knows the sound of the voice. She knows that this is one I love dearly. And there's something in the way the mom speaks to the child, in some way that the child speaks to the mom. That's the love Christ has for his children. He knows us by name. He knows how to speak our name in love. He has shown patience with us. We're not we're not believing like we ought to believe, and he shows patience. Mary's known that patience all her life. He has probably heard her, in other times where he needed to show patience, say these things. And he's asked her, why are you weeping, Mary? Mary, I'm here. I'm alive. Quit the tears. Don't mourn anymore. And today I say to us all, let us not mourn. Now he says something that many people struggle over and wonder exactly what is meant. I don't know that I know the fullness of what he meant, but evidently she wants to embrace him. And he tells her it's not the time for embracing. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So he says, don't hold on to me. Don't keep me from further things. I've got things to do. That's certainly one of the things he's speaking of. There may be a ton of other things that he is saying here. Some of the times I'm shocked at people's interpretation here. They say he said not to touch him because he was hurting so bad from the from the crucifixion. I go, no, you don't know much about eternal life, do you? The Bible says there's no pain after death. There's no tears. He has wounds, but they're not hurting him. He keeps the wound so we can know it's him, but he's not hurting, and so that's not it. He can be touched, physically, because he tells Thomas and the other disciples, throw your hands into the side here, put your fingers into the nail prints of my hands. He speaks of that. So there's some mysterious thing here, but I want you to notice that he's got stuff to do. I've got to ascend to my Father. What does he do now for us on the right hand of the throne of God? He makes intercession for us. Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, it is finished. He didn't mean he was through with us. It simply meant that everything that was necessary for him to redeem us has been done. Every prophecy was fulfilled. He could die for us, and God would accept his sacrifice as perfect. And so when he said it's finished, he didn't mean it's through. It just simply means, I'm on to the next step. And that's what he seems to be saying to her, as far as I can tell. I have things I still need to be doing. But go and tell. And that's the next thing she hears. You have a calling, Mary. Of all the people in the world who could have seen me first, it wasn't Peter, it wasn't John, it wasn't James, it wasn't Andrew, it wasn't Thomas, it was you, Mary. You're going to have the privilege of being the very first person who can't just say, I saw the empty grave. You, in addition to the empty grave, have seen the risen Christ, and you are the first witness of his resurrection. God has witnesses chosen to reveal himself to those who were not there. And Mary is that for us. And we rejoice that God has favored a woman with this task. We all may not be called to pulpit ministries. We may not all have official ordinations, but we all can be a witness of what God has done. We can tell what we have seen and what we have heard. And God shows us that by using Mary as the first witness of the resurrection of the dead. And she's good to her calling. She does go and tell everything. And that's where we began our reading today. John 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Not seen the empty tomb, seen the Lord. And that he had spoken these things to her. I heard stuff. I heard good stuff. I went from them asking me why I was weeping to quit weeping because I heard something else. I heard my name. He called me by my name. I have hope. Mary heard hope. She heard love. She heard all these things. Yes, Mary heard he is not here, but now she understands what the fullness of the message is. He's not here because he is risen. Mary heard the question, why are you weeping? Let us know that there's a time for everything. There's a time to weep, but there's also a time to rejoice. And Easter is a time of great rejoicing. Weeping may endure for the night, Psalm 30 says, but joy cometh in the morning. And now we see Mary hear her name, and she represents us all here. For that's what God does. God opens our heart. He takes our deaf ear and makes it hear. He takes our dull heart, softens it, makes it able to hear him and to respond to him. God is so good to us as he was good to Mary. He loves us. He shares his patience. Mary heard patience. Mary heard love. You can and you will also. You can have hope and you also can be his witness. You can tell the story. You can be a part of these things. That's the joy of Easter. That's the joy of learning about Mary and what she heard and what she saw and what she knew. And the journey. You may be on a journey. You may be slow to learn like Mary was. That's okay. That's okay. God is patient. God is loving. And more than that, God knows us personally. And he died for us personally. And he's coming back again personally. And just like he said in Lazarus' case, Lazarus, come forth. One day when Jesus returns, he will speak to our bodies that are in the grave and say, David, come forth. And whatever your name is, come forth. And we will. This is the joy of Easter. May God bless us, is my prayer. Bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. The Primitive Baptists who bring you this program each week do so with the following conviction. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is our guide for what we are to believe, and it is our guide for what we are to do. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is to be followed as Lord and Savior. And we believe that his salvation is a free gift of God's sovereign grace, not dependent on any work that we do, but wholly dependent on his finished work done on our behalf. We present this weekly Bible study based on the premise of Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you would like to contribute to the furtherance of this program, then send your donation to this address, The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. That's The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Or if you want to send a question or a comment to us, you can also send your correspondence to that address. We also have a webpage where you can access all our programs as well as other helpful information. It can be found at Lighthouse Bible Study. That's just one word. And all in lowercase, lighthousebiblestudy.org. Until next week, may God light your world.